job. This is one of my favorite services. I know I say that a lot, right? This really is one of our favorite services. It is with great pride that I'm able to stand with the rest of you veterans here this morning as we sing these great songs and hymns of patriotism. You know, I'm looking out and seeing some of you smiling. Little did we know back then, you know, when we were boys, girls, at least young people, serving in those forgotten places, lonesome, lonely, you know, everybody in the world's forgotten about us except mom, you know, those little wife back here. Strange places, strange people doing strange things. Little did we know the day would come when we'd get to stand to be honored here as old men, right? I'm sitting here thinking, the stuff I'm being honored for, I did 50 years ago. I was just a kid, as many of you were also. Most of you were also. On Memorial Day, I tweeted this. Our military is the clenched fist, furrowed brow, and guttural roar that says to the enemies of our freedom, back up. You can't have this. I'm proud to have been a part of that fierce posture and to help keep the enemy off our soil for 243 years. Good job. Good job. This morning we're going to talk about patriotism. Patriotism, very honorable, godly characteristic. I say that because we live in a day and age, it's hard to imagine, where patriotism has fallen on hard times. I've already had conversations with a couple of you here this morning asking me, what's happened to patriotism? I don't know exactly what's happened to patriotism. It's being criticized, condemned as being hateful and mean and intolerant. Patriotism and the vehicles of patriotism, it seems, have always been criticized. Few documents capture the patriotic spirit of our nation more beautifully than the Gettysburg Address. In 2013, on the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's speech, the New York Times honored the speech by writing this: "This brief two-minute speech still stands as the power, still has the power to do what words rarely are able to do, invoke an eloquent silence. There is an overpowering intimacy in these plain words." But even the patriotism of the Gettysburg Address over the years was challenged. The Harrisburg Patriot called the speech, and I quote, "silly remarks by the president." The New York World newspaper accused Lincoln of, and I quote, "gross ignorance or willful misstatement with his declaration of 67 years ago." The Democratic-leaning Chicago Times said, and I quote, "the cheek of every American must tingle with shame as he reads the silly, flat, and dishwatery utterances of the man who has to be pointed out to intelligent foreigners as the President of the United States." Even the Lincoln Times got involved. They commented, "the Gettysburg ceremony was rendered ludicrous by some of the zealous of that poor President Lincoln." So, patriotism has always been ridiculed. It's always been belittled. It's always been criticized. We're not going to criticize patriotism here this morning. We're going to compliment it. We're going to rally around patriotism. Did you expect anything different this morning when you came today? Let's start with a definition of patriotism. Patriotism: devoted love, support, and defense of one's country. So the question becomes, as Christ followers, what is my country? Because in showing devoted love and support of that country, I am being a patriot by definition. Others can claim patriotism, but by definition, I'm being a patriot, you're being a patriot, by devoted love and support and defense of our country. What is our country? What is our country? Here's where we're going to begin. American patriotism. And when we think of patriotism this morning, this is the first thing we think of. American patriotism is devoted love, support, and defense of America. These are eloquent words. When in the course of human events becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political band which connects them to another and establish among the powers of earth the separate but equal station which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they declare the causes which impelled them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, and organizing their powers in such form as them seems most likely to secure their safety and happiness. Since those words were first penned by Thomas Jefferson, and since those men laid their life and family and fortune on the line in order to secure our independence, we owe our allegiance to the United States of America. We owe our allegiance to the United States of America. There are some who say, wait a minute, the very rebellion of America against Great Britain was a violation of Scripture because Great Britain was the governing authority established by God and we rebelled against it. No. I'm afraid not. They're referring to Romans chapter 13, verse 1. And by the way, let me just get on my soapbox here for a minute and say Romans 13, 1 was not aimed at a country or aimed at a governing authority. It wasn't aimed at an organization. It was aimed at individuals. Romans 13, 1 speaks to anarchy by an individual, not a governing organization known as the 13 colonies. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, Jesus says, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. Romans 13, 1 had nothing to do with the 13 colonies, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people saying enough is enough, enough is enough, and penning the words of the Declaration of Independence. Here's Romans 13, 1. Every one, not every nation, every one must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are instituted by God. So then, the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command. That's Romans 13, chapter 2. For government is God's servant, an avenger that brings wrath on the one who does wrong, on the anarchist who does wrong, on the one who opposes the governing authority, on that individual who opposes the governing authority, on the individual who doesn't submit to the governing authority. Now track with me here for a moment. That person who kneels when the American, when the national anthem is being played is in violation of Romans chapter 13, verse 2, because they are not submitting to that governing authority. They are standing against that which God has been established. Any individual who burns the American flag is an anarchist because they're not submitting to the governing authority that God has established over us. They are an anarchist. They are not displaying patriotism. They're not displaying patriotism. Now, having said that, let me speak to those of you who, along with me, have served in our nation, because some of you are worried about this. By serving your nation in the uniform, you've been in compliance with Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. You have submitted to the authorities under which you serve. You have done a good thing. Everything you did, and I know, some of you carry scars, and folks, you've got to understand, we've got some heroes here in our midst. We've got folks that carry the bullet wounds. We've got folks that have the stories. We've got folks that wake up at night screaming. Those things you were called upon to do by our nation, by the United States of America, you did in compliance with Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. You did by the commandment of God. You were submissive to your nation. God bless you, veteran. God bless you for all you've done. For those of you who stand and cover your heart with the Pledge of Allegiance as said, God bless you. You're in compliance with Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. For those of you who stand and tremble and weep when the national anthem is played, God bless you. You're in compliance with Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. You are not an anarchist. You are a patriot. You are an American patriot. And if you need more clarification on this, you need to come to my office, because I've got a gun full. I've got a gun full on this. That's all we have time for. All displays of American patriotism are in submission to God and are patriotic. What is my country is the question we're asking and answering here this morning. In showing devoted love and support for my country, I'm being a patriot, but as a Christ follower, what is my country? Now, I need to ramp this up a notch. We want to talk now about kingdom patriotism, because there definitely is such a thing. Psalm 33, verses 12. Let's look at the beginning of verse 12. Blessed is the nation, that's the biblical word, not mine. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. What nation is that? Well, folks, it's not America. Not anymore. Not anymore. The only nation today whose God is the Lord is the kingdom church. We're talking now about Christ followers from America and Germany and Russia and Japan and Ukraine. All gathered together, all of us together, we form the kingdom church. We form Christ's church. That's the only nation whose God is the Lord. Last half of that 12th verse, Psalm 33. The people he chose for his inheritance. What's he talking about? Whom did God choose for his inheritance? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen race. He's speaking there to Christ followers. You, Christ followers, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Look at this, a holy nation. A people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Now you are God's kingdom. As we're talking about national patriotism and kingdom patriotism, to which do we owe the most loyalty? Listen to John chapter 3, verse 31. Now we're comparing national patriotism and kingdom patriotism. The one who comes down from above is above all. The one who is from the earth is earthly and speaks in earthly terms. The one who comes from heaven is above all. As Peter stood before the authorities in Jerusalem, he said in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, "We must obey God rather than men." In other words, we must be loyal to kingdom patriotism over national patriotism. As far as our strongest affections, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, love the brotherhood. Kingdom patriotism takes priority over national patriotism every time. In 1934, a movement began to arise within the German church called German Christianity, heavily influenced by Nazism. Hitler wanted the influence of churches, so he appealed to a group of patriotic Germans who were bishops and elders and pastors and church leaders. What emerged was the idea that it was the duty of the church to advance Nazism. But a group of genuine Christ followers got together and authored what has become known as the Barman Declaration. It said that the church and the gospel serves no one, that Christ is Lord over everything, and the church must never allow itself to be enlisted to the service of any ideology, no matter how good it may seem. They put it this way, and I quote, "We cannot put the Word of God and the work of the Lord Jesus in the service of any arbitrarily chosen desires, purposes, and plans." The Kingdom Church doesn't serve anybody. The Kingdom Church isn't submissive to anybody. The Kingdom Church doesn't bow to any nation or any ruler. Under our current national leadership, we are enjoying a season of relative agreement with the direction of the government. The Constitution of the United States is heavily influenced by the Bible. So we're grateful for Supreme Court justices and federal judges who are embracing the Constitution, the biblically influenced Constitution, and they're making judgment based on the Constitution. They're not attempting to rule the nation from the bench. We're grateful for that. Biblical issues of life and gender and family are being protected more so than in previous years, and that's good. That's good. As long as that remains the case, that's good. But if the pendulum swings and there arises an American Christianity that encourages churches to support non-biblical practices, we must be prepared to support our own version of the Barman Declaration. I'll put this in quotes. "We cannot put the Word of God and the work of the Lord Jesus in the service of any arbitrarily chosen desires, purposes, and plans." We're going to need to watch carefully as history unfolds. And we need to make sure that under our influence, under our voice, under our life, during our lifetime, there never comes a national patriotism that attempts to push kingdom patriotism out of the way and replace Christ's church with natural devotion, national devotion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you are quiet. Think, well, Pastor, when would that ever happen? That would happen if government ever pressures us to hire LGBTQ individuals. That would happen if we're ever forced to pay and finance abortions as a church or as people. That would come if we're ever forced to submit to an American church that puts us under the authority of something other than the Kingdom Church. It's kind of hard to hear, isn't it?
Let's look at one other patriotism. Heavenly patriotism. Listen to the definition again. Patriotism is the devoted love, support, and defense of one's country. What is our ultimate country? If we're going to yield love and support and defense of our country and being patriots, what is our ultimate country? Well, here's a hint. Jesus said in John 18:36, "My kingdom, not of this world." Talking about those who had followed the Lord in the past, Hebrews 11, beginning of verse 13, says, "They were foreigners and strangers on earth. They were looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they'd left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul said, "Our citizenship is in heaven." I'm letting that sink in. Now, I want to ask you some sobering questions. Don't want you to answer out loud, but I do want you to answer in your own heart. Do you believe you are a foreigner here? Do you believe God has prepared a city for you? Do you believe your real citizenship is in heaven? Do you believe heaven is your home? Then you must be a heavenly patriot devoted to your home country, heaven. You ever wonder what heaven's like? You had to have. This is the first heaven. Of course, we polluted it. We've infected it with our black sin and we've turned it all upside down. But this is the first heaven. The second heaven must be something like this. You know, grass and trees, forests, babbling brooks, blue, green, golden, cool. Warmth, fellowship, friendship, family, heaven must be something like that. It'd be nice, I think, if they had, I say this sometimes in memorial services, it would be real nice if they had a phone system there. And maybe they do. Maybe they do. We just don't have access to it. You know? It's not Sprint. It's not Verizon. It's not AT&T. Maybe they do have a phone system there, and we just can't contact them. But wouldn't it be comforting to be able to call up Mom? "Hey, Mom, you doing all right?" "Oh, yeah, honey, I'm doing just fine. Can't wait till you get here. You're going to love it." "Oh, thanks, Mom. That's so encouraging." It'd be good. It'd be easy, for comforting for us, if we could call and just talk with them. Well, if our phone systems were connected, we could, but our phone systems are just not connected. We should be American patriots. And we should certainly be kingdom patriots. But our ultimate patriotism should be as heavenly patriots. Is that a true statement? Here's a pretty contemporary hymn. They say heaven's pretty, and living here is too. But if they say, son, you're going to have to choose between the two, I'm going home. Going home where I belong. When I'm feeling lonely, when I'm feeling blue, it's such a joy to know I'm only passing through. I'm headed home. I'm going home where I'll finally belong. Pray with me.